talking sports in the afternoon. This is The Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Welcome back to Mugshot Sports Bar and Grill. Rob Kerr, Josh Humphreys with you. I figured out what's going on next to us.
What is it?
He's writing down the top five prospects of each team as a memory exercise so that he can remember them.
Yeah.
Tim is writing down. Your name's Tim, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Be sad if I started. You know, Jeffrey next to us here is writing down.
Jeffrey.
Go Jeffrey all day. Now, Charlene, what kind are these? Okay.
Oh.
Those are the really good salt and pepper. Sweet and sour sriracha. Those are one of the new flavors here, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. All right. Sour cream and onion bacon bits. All right.
Put those
give them right
here.
To Josh.
Yeah.
I guess it's time for Rob to go on a little diatribe because apparently Josh is going to eat.
You better.
Wait, there's more. Wait, there's more. Holy cow. All right, so what do we got here? Ginger, okay.
Well, you better.
I got to move all my prep.
I don't think you need dinner tonight.
No.
To tell you the truth.
Louisiana garlic parmesan.
Wow.
Okay. Jeffrey, help yourself to some.
Not to mention my great staff.
Oh, and your staff. No, you don't have to. I'll do that for you.
Team Chicken.
Team okay.
Chicken.
Charlene letting us know, and we can tell you, they got great staff here at Mugshots. Team Chicken, as a matter of fact. So there will be a test later on. There's nothing better than people eating on the radio. Help yourself, Jeffrey, to some. Tim actually is next to us here. And who's the young lady at the end?
Jackie.
Hi, Jackie. Jackie's there. Jackie and Tim and Jeffrey and everybody helping us out, and they can have some wings, and we'd love you to come down and say hello and pick up a free T-shirt. You can ask Jackie. She'll give you one. Or Tim. Tim, and perhaps you'd like to talk to Tim about the top five prospects of each NHL team. Maybe later on. I'm kind of wondering if I can pick them. I'm wondering if he can pick a random team, if I can come up with the five top prospects.
Ooh.
Now, this is
that's
you're,
a good test.
You're ripping this right out of the hockey news. Is that right? Or are you doing your own? Okay, it's right out of the Hockey News yearbook. I wonder if I could do that. You going to eat or what?
Do you want me to eat? I was waiting.
Now you're playing video games on your iPad?
No, I was looking. I'm looking at the Twitter here, but I was wondering.
How is Twitter today? Is Twitter doing well?
I
hope Twitter's okay. All right. Anyway, lots to do this afternoon. A little later on, we will get into we were football heavy yesterday, and I anticipate we will be football heavy here in the next little while. Our old friend Henry Burris was texting with me today. It's possible that there might be some Burris on the radio before this week's out.
Nice. Always good.
Should have had it last week. Or did you have it last week? Did you have Hank on last week?
I don't believe. No, we didn't. We didn't go to Ottawa last week.
Yeah, he was pretty mad after that loss to the Stampeders.
Hey,
a little surprised he's actually talking to anybody from Calgary.
Hey, but he passed Danny McManus.
He did.
On the passing list, so that was a huge bonus for him.
Jeffrey just took a picture of all the chicken wings. We should actually do that. Did you take a picture of him?
No, I'm going to. I'm going to.
Okay, because we have the Twitter.
Next,
right?
When we go to break here, I'm going to go over there and make myself a little flatter.
I got to be honest with you, Josh. I don't know why you're waiting for break, because really, it's just bogging down at this point.
I'm anticipating.
All right. We are at Mugshot Sports Bar and Grill, 2808 Ogden Road Southeast. Thank you very much. Of course, the great staff, the chicken.
Team Chicken.
Thank you. I was going to call them the Chicken Gang. That's a completely different thing. That's something totally different. All right. Brad Trilling was just on. Lance Boma.
Yes.
I got what I needed to know. I got to be honest with you. The more and more I do this, the less and less I'm concerned about the dollars. I'm really, dude deserves to make whatever he makes. More interesting to me is term. And in this case, I didn't anticipate the answer being a two-way, but we got the answer. It's a one-way deal, 1 year.
Yep.
I asked the question, is this a bridge contract? Sometimes I think general managers of the National Hockey League just kind of recoil at the words and the terms that we in the media make up.
Mm-hmm.
That, well, we don't call it a bridge contract, but all right, numbskull, that's what you're going to call it. I'll agree to
it.
That's what this is. Now it's and there's a couple of flames. The one thing that Brad Treliving does not give away term.
No.
He is not. Is 3 years.
Even his free agency signed this
3 year the most he's signed anybody to?
I mean, Mason Raymond was a 3 year deal. Englund was a 3 year deal, and the only other free agent they brought in was Jonas Hiller, who was a 2 year deal.
Right.
And that's been all in Brad Treliving's time.
Stajan got 4 years, but that was under Brian Burke's watch.
That was Brian Burke.
Yeah.
Treliving wasn't in the organization yet when that was done. And I do like these, bridge deals, the 1-2 year deals. We call them bridge deals. Call them whatever you want. Devin Setoguchi's almost getting one. It's like a bridge deal for him. This is either you're going to go on to have an NHL career, whether it's with us or whether it's another team in the NHL, or you're going to probably find yourself in the KHL if you don't have a good year. Lance Boma, same sort of thing. You got that one-year deal, continue to show signs that you're improving. We'll explore a longer term deal. And to the people that say we don't like these short-term contracts, would you agree that Michael Backlund has improved the last couple of seasons, and he is, you know, showing some great signs of improvement?
If Michael Backlund continues on the same platform that he continued on last year, mm-hmm. at the end of last year, well, most of last year, quite honestly, if he takes it to another step this year, dude's going to get paid.
TJ Brody.
And he, TJ Brody. Those are the two guys that I right now I think those are the guys that get Brad Treliving to say more than 3 years.
Exactly, and absolutely, and if they continue to show that, but this is what it does. There's a lot of guys that we've talked about the history of guys younger in their career. They have that big season and they get that long-term deal and then they taper off after that. Anybody, you know, most NHL players can come out and have one great year on a contract year mm-hmm. and put up some good numbers. But what it does when you give them a 2 year or another bridge deal for Lance Bowman last year and then this year, so 2 years he has to prove that he's a regular NHLer and he can do all those things that he did, it makes that player, it gives a team like a Brad Treliving and the Flames more of a chance to see what they can do and a better idea of what that player is going to be if they give him a long term.
And I'd like to think, you know, one of the things that I'm most proud of on this radio station was just before Jay Feaster had that title of interim taken off, we asked listeners to give us your plan as a general manager. Mm-hmm. And we had so many people that took the time to put hours and hours into, this is what I would stand for. This is what is important to me as a general manager. And, you know, a lot of people at that time were really ticked off with the number of no moves, no trades that this organization gave away. A lot of people, you know, were saying, well, you know, I would never give those away, or I would only give away 2 year con. I don't think you can have ironclad rules. I think you can have hard and fast rules, but I don't think you can have ironclad rules. And what I've enjoyed the most about this summer is just sitting back and watching Brad Treliving in this hockey operations department work. I know there have been those who have praised them and given them letter grades. I know there are those who have said, well, they haven't done enough for all of those things. I'm not here about whether it's good enough or bad enough or whatever. That still has to be decided on the ice. To me, what I've enjoyed is just kind of, you know, feeling out and figuring out what's important. And to me, I think we're beginning to have a really good view of Brad Treliving as a general manager. Now, how much of that is influenced by the president, I don't know. How much of that is influenced by his two lieutenants? The one guy talks a lot, so I don't know. And Pascal's a good guy, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're not giving away, we're not watching big contracts give away. I said it to you and Ryan, I thought you guys did a great job of talking to Brad on Saturday. And I felt bad because I felt like I was stepping on toes by re-asking a question, but instead of Gucci. But I'm so, again, that's a deal that I just looked at and go, oh, I don't get it. I don't understand it. And this is why we ask questions.
Yeah.
And clearly it's a hunch. You heard it right there.
Exactly.
Treliving came on and he, you know, he explained it exactly, you know, hard things had to be heard and those types of things. I think he has every right to have those kinds of opportunities as a general manager to a gut call, if you will.
Absolutely he does. And I truly believe that he did do his homework on Devin Setoguchi, and he says, you know, it's a hunch, but I do believe that Devin Setoguchi is going to bounce back. He did his homework. He went and visited with him. And the one thing I like about Brad Treliving, even when we got into the conversation regarding, well, you're taking a spot away from a rookie.
Right.
I love it how he says, everything is earned on this team.
Right.
Nothing's given to you. I don't care if you're from Calgary or you're from Tabor or wherever you're from. We're not doing you favors. I don't care if you've been in the league for 6 years, part of this organization. I think it speaks to that when you look at the contracts he gives out too. Short-term deals, these 2-3 year, 1 year deals in a lot of cases. Everything is earned. The Joe Colburn contract had a great year last year. Show us if is that you, or are you the guy that struggled to make the Toronto Maple Leafs and couldn't find a regular spot in the NHL, or are you that Joe Colburn?
Yep.
Now you've got 2 years. So it's not a lot of pressure on the player, because sometimes that would be a lot of pressure on a Joe Colburn or a Lance Bomer to kind of, or anybody like that, a one-year kind of thing to say, you've only got one season. If you have a bad couple months or you get injured, oh well. This is 2 full seasons if you're a Joe Colburn now that you can come out and show us that that's the kind of player you are. You have that opportunity. Lance Bomer's had 2 years. Last year, he did well. Show us again this year, and then you'll get yourself a long-term contract and you'll have some stability. But you have to earn it before we go out and give you that long-term. Michael Backlund, he's showing signs that he can be. He's starting to earn it. Do it this year. TJ Brody, I don't think there's any question. He's improved and looked really good the last couple of seasons. If he can do it again this year, you'll get the long-term contracts. Show us that you can be that player, earn it, and then you'll get it.
We will talk to Lance Boma a little later on this afternoon. And as a matter of fact, I just want to credit Will. Now that we become train people, now that we become transit people, mm-hmm. I'll tell you, the podcasting's huge to me. Like I apologize to all those people we transgressed over the years, but now you know, we got to make sure that we're constantly putting podcasts up and constantly putting links up and stuff. And Will has been all over that today. So if you want to listen to Brad True Living, that is now up. Yours JS Jaguar interview, yep, from earlier is up. Your interview on the Toronto
Joe Siddle,
right? Yep. That's all up there. Still to come this hour, Nate Kuhorn from the Edmonton Eskimos. Later on, Lance Boma. Do want to remind you folks, if you haven't checked out DropCam, you should go to dropcam.com or check it out at Best Buy and Future Shop. You know, we talked about parenting and you get a kid and you get the baby monitor. This is the ultimate baby monitor, and for a lot of reasons. Why? Because it gives you HD video, gives you the ability for two-way communication. You could log on at work and check on your newborn. You could talk to, if you had a microphone hooked up to your computer, you could talk to the baby. The baby could, murmur back to you, but you can check in on it. You can do the same thing with a pet. What about allowing grandparents to be able to check in on the kids? They can do that with DropCam. It's the ultimate in flexibility. Yes, it can give you security. That it can, because you can watch your house and keep things monitored, and you can get alerts when when something happens, those types of things. The flexibility of this particular product is beyond my mind. I am amazed, and because I have one, I use it all the time. If you haven't seen what DropCam is, go to dropcam.com. You need to see it and get one. You go to Best Buy or Future Shop. It's awesome. We'll take a break. When we come back, more as we spend this afternoon at Mugshot Sports Bar and Grill, the home of Calgary's number one chicken wing. And we're going to put that to the taste test because we got so many to taste here in the break. And when we come back, NHL expansion, NHL relocation. Is it going to happen? Give you a thought on that next. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
NHL, CFL, NFL, MLB, NLL, WHL, and lots more letters. We cover them all. Sportsnet 960, The FAN. Talking sports in the afternoon. This is The Big Show on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Quebec City, the arena has all but been built. Toronto, I really see the team playing in the air can in the center. Seattle, they're ready to build an arena, and they have an owner. The one that I can't figure out still is Las Vegas. To me, that makes no sense. But if they're ready to give a team to Las Vegas, everything's in place for the other three cities as well.
Howard Bloom from Sports Business News on our sister station, the Fan 590 in Toronto. Howard was always a lot of fun. Howard has a problem. He can't say anything out without having a very strong opinion on it. He's beautiful when it comes to sports talk radio. Welcome back. You need a couple. I'll buy some time, Josh. No, it's good. You finish. We're at Mugshot Sports Bar and Grill, the home of Calgary's number one chicken wing. They continue to prove that break after break after break. As Freddie here is working on stuff, we'll get to that. I want to do that test later with you. Jackie's eating some wings now, and J-Hump is, you're just mowing them down.
So good.
I'll tell you this, the Louisiana garlic parmesan, that is my new favorite. That is the outstanding one there. Now, don't forget to come down and ask for the red velvet, chocolate and cream cheese.
Oh.
Only because the
don't
look.
Do it. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Do not do it.
You and I have a very strange relationship when it comes to eating food on the air. Today hasn't been so bad. There have been no insects
well,
involved.
Today, this is good food. I enjoy this.
And the problem with this particular business, what you and I do, mm-hmm. it's so disposable, right? Yep. We say something, we move on. We talk about this, we talk about that. And for me, I have a hard time keeping track of what we've done in the last half hour. You have to remind me, we just had Brad True Living on.
Mm-hmm.
We were at the Sutter Golf Tournament, and there was a couple of Sutters. I think Brian was one of them that kept coming up and going, so was it you guys that was eating the insects? How did that taste? eating insects, and that goes over big. But I'll tell you, these wings are something else. They Charlene and her staff.
To check them out. I mean, there's people on the text line talking about it that have some of the – I mean, these aren't people that we're paying. There's the text line coming in saying –
And look, I mean, like,
tried it out before.
Freddie here's like 70 pounds soaking wet. Like, I mean, we're gonna fill him so full of chicken wings, we're gonna have to roll him out here today.
Yeah, text comes in. I went to Mugshots because of the Fat 960. No regrets. Awesome wings. Love going there.
There you go.
So there's listeners that are, I mean, coming in. Text asking what sets the Mugshot wings apart from others: size, flavor, price, everything. The size is perfect. It's not the jumbo too big. They're not the too small. The flavors. It's almost like chicken's never been frozen. Fresh produce.
I mean, they're not dumping these things on people's heads.
Yeah, and it's right? And the thing to me, when you look at all these wings, it looks like they put an effort into making each individual flavor. You know, when you go on wing night and they just cook up a bunch of wings and they throw them in a bowl and sauce them up and bring them out to you. Not the case.
You know what? I had never thought of it like that, but as soon as you say that, we turn and we look at the presentation, you're right.
I just tweeted a picture of it. I think you retweeted it
as well.
Of what they look like, the flavors that they brought to us. You could tell they actually put the time into each order of wings. They're so unique that they all need different, you know, time to go in.
I got to be honest with you. I think they're really glomming onto you. I think they've become very impressed with you this afternoon.
Yeah.
Because you have really gone out of your way to make sure they put everything that gets put down gets eaten.
I am a huge.
You're a very good customer.
I was saying now, you know.
I cannot wait for the bill to come.
I live on my own. When you get,
he just stopped. As soon as I say to Josh, I can't wait for the bill to come. He stopped. Oh, there's a bill?
Well, yeah. But
no, I'll take care of it.
I'll be out of here at five o'clock.
It's all good. It's all good.
No, they are very good. I do encourage people to come down and check them out. This is awesome.
Right. Lance Boma coming up a little later on. We mentioned Howard Bloom coming in. The big story today, a lot of talk about expansion, a lot of talk about the National Hockey League maybe going to two more teams, maybe going to four more teams, Las Vegas. Tony Gallagher from the Vancouver province announcing or saying last night that it's a done deal. They don't have owners, but it's a done deal. You heard Howard Bloom on earlier today on Brady and Walker, was on there talking about the fact that, you know, it could be Toronto, Quebec, Seattle, and Las Vegas. I've long held the belief that there's expansion coming. I don't think and I don't mean this to sound demeaning, and I certainly don't wish to take a shot at any of those fine gentlemen. I just don't think it's a story, because I think it's inevitable. I think we've known it.
I think every league would probably eventually want to expand.
Yeah, but more so from a National Hockey League standpoint. And you know, when you know guys like Chris Johnson for Sportsnet and other people did their due diligence in the collective bargaining agreement and came across the part that expansion would go directly to the owners, would not go to hockey-related revenue, bing, ding, 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 you knew in this CBA there was going to be expansion, right? The reason we had so many outdoor games last year was to thank and reward organizers. And they get it. They have every right. I don't begrudge them. Yeah. I don't care. It's a business. It is a business. Now, you and I can have a conversation about whether or not it should be run as a monopoly or whether or not it should be run as a cash cow. I think, I think the owners of the Calgary Flames own this team, in a kind of a trust that, you know, with the city and the fans and things like that. I think they hold it in trust for the sporting fans. But still, they have an ability and a right to make money. The league has a right to make money. The players, we've already heard from Jonathan Toews. Players are on board with this.
Yeah.
You know, and Jonathan Toews said there's enough young guys and everything. My belief, smile for the camera, okay, because Josh, we're getting pictures taken. You got to wipe your face. You've got red velvet all over.
Well, that's just, we got to show.
But here's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Do you think, let's just assume, my personal belief is two expansion teams and probably two relocations in the next 5 to 10 years.
So to end up with 32.
Do you think there are 46 potential NHL players outside the league right now, or how much watering down happens if two more teams come into this league?
I don't fear that too much, because as we've gotten farther and farther, you know, on each and every year, it seems like more and more kids are coming up from the juniors, more and more guys that are going to be able to play in the National Hockey League. You look at what expansion does for maybe teams in the KHL, that probably hurts them. Maybe some guys that wouldn't find roles in the NHL now could come over, get a shot playing in the NHL, and they would be successful. Those guys would have some good careers in the National Hockey League as well. There's tons of minor league teams, tons of junior teams that are continuing to pump up players,
right?
And there's less and less places for these guys to play. I think we're seeing some really good players stuck in the American Hockey League or stuck in an organization where they can't. Look at Chicago. you got your Patrick Kane, your Jonathan Toews down there, and a guy like Kevin Hayes wanted out of that organization because he didn't feel like he was going to get a chance to be a superstar, so he goes somewhere else. You bring those expansion teams. How many other guys do we have? Maybe we won't see long 10-year deals signed with teams because there's guys that will go to different teams, and when a team like Chicago has a Patrick Kane or Jonathan Toews signed long-term, a guy can't really step into that role while they're there. He can go elsewhere to an expansion team and go into that role. So I do think there is – I don't fear that as much as maybe I did five, 6 years ago. But seeing how much the game continues to grow and grow, I feel like you wouldn't have that problem because I think there's a lot of guys that are – even in the NHL now, that if they were on a team where they could beat the guy, would step up and carry the torch pretty good.
I'm old enough to remember that the teams that came in 79-80 to make it a 21-team league were watering down the league.
Yeah.
I have seen the watering down argument, and there is no doubt.
Even Minnesota, Columbus watered down the league.
They did, and the adding of two more teams would, to some degree. And it's funny you mentioned Chicago because I think that's where you'd see the biggest thing is. I think teams like L.A., Chicago, some of these well-constructed teams, I think they would be the ones that would, you know, probably feel it the most. Yet they have young prospects that are ready to come in and those types
maybe
of things.
Maybe being held behind a little bit just because those teams are so veteran laden with so many players.
I think an expansion would help a player like a Mike Commodore. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it would keep a Mike Commodore, an older veteran player, in the league for another year or two. I think you're right. I think there's some players that I think it would affect leagues like the Swiss League where we're now starting to see players go. If you watch the Swiss League over the last couple of years, the quality of player, it's no longer guys who kicked around Europe ending up in Switzerland. It's guys who were just in the NHL going to Switzerland. Look, to me, I've always felt the funner question would be, because it is going to be watered down. Do I think they can handle it? Yeah. Do I think it'll drive people away? No. The only advice I would give to the National Hockey League is if they do expand, do it with some significant rule changes. Do it whatever you feel like, because we're a cat chasing our own tail when it comes to this game. There are going to be new rules at some point to increase scoring. There just is. There always is. Coaches coach. They put in the hybrid icing. You watch. The coaches adapt to it. Eventually, they adapt to everything. There's so many coaches. There's so much technology. Now analytics. They're going to hammer and hammer and hammer the rules. They're going to have to do something with the rules. So if you bring a couple teams in, then do something significant in terms of opening up the game. I want to flip it around. What would this look like? What would the National Hockey League look like? Where would it fit if it went back to six teams?
Wow.
How good would that product be?
It would be unbelievable because you would have just absolute, you'd have, essentially six all-star teams.
Right.
Battling it out.
Right.
But and then that kind of.
I mean, how many Calgary Flames players on the roster right now would be part of a six-team NHL team?
Giordano.
Or league, I should say.
Maybe Yuri Hurdler would find his way on a team as a.
I think he'd be in trouble.
A role player. He'd be a role player. Not a lot of guys would.
I'm not. I'll tell you this. I doubt there'd be very many players under the age of 22. Yeah. I don't think there'd be 18-year-old players.
Nope.
You know, Connor McDavid maybe.
Yep.
But I don't think an Aaron Ekblad would make a six-team NHL.
Yeah, and a guy like a Sean Monahan who's got all the potential, but is he a top, 36-something player in the NHL right now? Probably not. So
the hockey, I think, would be fantastic. What I don't know is what would the interest be? Because it's not coming to your town, right? It's stuck in six centers. And let's just say, for the sake of argument, let's just say Detroit doesn't have a team. It's L.A. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not about the original six, but it's about six biggest markets. I was talking about television markets before. If the National Hockey League put a team in Toronto and then the top five television markets in the United States, let me just grab them here because I may as well if I printed them. They're in here somewhere. But anyway.
Los Angeles would be one.
New York would be another one.
New York would be the other one.
Right?
Two.
You know, here we go. New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Philadelphia, Dallas, and Toronto. Okay, that's my new six team NHL because those are all the biggest television because this is completely a money this is completely about
television,
it would never happen in a million years. But what would it look like?
It would be, it would be an all-star league. It would be great. The hockey would be unbelievable. People could watch it on TV, but you would lose interest. People in Calgary would lose interest to it because it would become irrelevant to them because there's no connection to Calgary.
Right.
Unless you have a couple players in Calgary that you really followed and you really cheered for, But you would have
they're not playing in your city.
They're not coming to your city. They're not your hometown team.
No.
So you would be interested maybe for a little
bit. But Canadians are fans of NFL teams. Canadians are fans of U.S.
But lots of fans of British soccer and stuff like that. I mean, if you're speaking, you've had the NHL and it gets taken away from you, you would eventually lose your interest in it. The reason why they're so into the NFL is because they've never had NFL. It's something. It's a massive sport. It gives them something to do every Sunday. It's almost like a tradition that the fantasy football and the traditions of watching all the games. But now you've got you have the NHL teams here, and they're taken away from you. You're not going to be interested in watching it. I mean,
Right. Remember
back in the late 90s when the Flames were going to move to Portland and
Yep. They
didn't get there?
Yep.
Would we still be NHL fans? Would it be known as a hockey city here? The Hibbin, would they survive? I don't know if the Hibbin would have survived or the Flames would have left, because I think the interest in hockey probably goes away with the Flames.
Look, this is an argument that you could take to NBA. This is an argument Yep. You could take to the NFL. This is an argument you could take to Major League Baseball. And it's one I certainly enjoyed. Pat and Luo and I had, Lou Bardias and I had this conversation one day of what it would look like. Like, what would a, you know, what would, and then you begin to ask yourself, okay, you know, is Jordan Eberle, would he be in a six-team NHL? Would I'm trying to think of, you know, Phil Kessel probably would be.
Get in there, yeah.
Taves Kane probably would be.
Yep.
Doughty, you know, you look at that pool just shrinking like that. Yeah. Hey, look, it's never going to happen. The expansion is going to happen. I'm like you. Do I believe there would be a watering down of the product? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been watered down before. It will be watered down again. I think the only caution or the only argument I would make with the National Hockey League is do some forethought in this. Understand. Don't pump our tires or come out and pump your own tires. Don't come out and tell us how smart we are and there's lots of bodies. This league would be better at six teams. This league would be better at 12 teams. This team would be better. League would be better at 18. That's just the reality of it.
Mm.
That's not sports. That's not the economics. I get that, but just, you know, the sheer just reducing the sheer numbers and putting only the best. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Right. There will be a change. There will be some. Now, there will be some guys that get an opportunity, and that's great. I just think the National Hockey League has to be a little smarter this time, timing it with some rule changes to open up the game.
It would be watered down, for sure. I mean, look at Columbus. They're now 14, 15 years into that franchise, and just now are we starting to say that Columbus is a legitimate team that gets to the playoffs here?
That's bad management.
There is bad management.
The Minnesota Wild were into a Western Conference final.
2003.
Their third year,
but it's right. There's management's one of it, but those two teams had some pretty bad players to
now
start.
That might be the better question of all. Mm-hmm. Here we are talking about the players. Is there the brain power
to do, yeah.
To do it. I mean, are there enough good, are there 30 NHL, I mean, I'm asking it. I'm not condemning anybody.
Yeah.
I'm just asking the question. Are all 30 coaches in the National Hockey League NHL coaches? I mean, are all 30
still,
general managers?
Yeah, exactly. And there's still guys. You look at the amount of assistant GMs that you have that always get talked about. They're the next guy. And
we've
talked about the guys in the American Hockey League, the next coach to come up. And a guy like Dan Byles was not a head coach right now. So there's still guys that are out there that could step into any organization. Look at the amount of assistant coaches or associate coaches. Those guys would be fine being head coaches anywhere in the National Hockey League as well. They've done it before. And same with GMs. There's plenty of GMs around the league. Brian Burke, he's not a GM right now of a team. If you convince Brian Burke to become a GM again, there's another guy that would be able to do it. I think I do think there's enough brain power certainly around the league.
All right,
to do it.
I asked the question. We are live at Mugshots, the home of Calgary's best chicken wing. If you don't believe us, come down and try it for yourself. 2808 Ogden Road Southeast, just off of Blackfoot Trail. It's really not that difficult to find. All kinds of screens. They got great staff. They got a very friendly clientele. It's a modern-day Cheers is what it is,
with
really, really, really good wings. Now, later on, Lance Bowman at 5 o'clock. We'll hear from Brad Treliving, the general manager of the Calgary Flames, more on expansion. But when we come back, I'm doing Edmonton radio tonight. I'm all jacked up because they want to talk about the bat.
Don't. Are you going to say something to cause a problem?
Yes. I'll be going on there and ripping their male cheerleaders.
Oh, here we go.
Just because it bugs the one guy in Lethbridge. I don't get it's just a territorial thing.
He's having fun with us.
Yeah, I know. When we're having it's all a good thing.
Oh.
To me, I love guys in black hats. I love that. I love being the. I love that Nick Lewis can be the villain sometimes.
Just don't,
and stuff.
Don't give him any billboard material, all right?
No, that's all Saskatchewan does. Saskatchewan's all the billboard guys.
Yeah,
billboard
but guys.
When we come back, very pleased. The Eskimos, you know, in all fairness, I will say this. They're the rivals and all of that. The Eskimos have been a very classy organization to deal with. They always have been. They provided us with Mike Riley prior to the big game in July, and they have provided us with Nate Kuhorn. He's going to join us next. You're going to talk to him about the Labor Day Classic coming up on Monday here in Calgary. Come down and join us. We're at Mugshot Sports Bar and Grill, 2808 Ogden Road Southeast, the home of Calgary's best chicken wing. It's the Fan 960.
If it's on the 200 by 85, it's right here first. Calgary's home for the National Hockey League. Sportsnet 960, the Fan. Talking football in the afternoon. This is the Big Show on Sportsnet 960, the Fan.
Welcome back. We are live from Mugshot Sports Bar and Grill, the corner of Ogden Road and Blackfoot Trail, testing out all their fabulous flavors of wings. Will be here till 6 o'clock tonight. Be sure to stop by, check us out, and say hello. The Big Show, Josh Humphreys, Rob Kerr back with you. Of course, coming up on Monday, it is the Labor Day Classic between the Calgary Stampeders and the Edmonton Eskimos, the biggest Labor Day Classic we've ever had. Both teams sitting at a 7-1 record. Very pleased to be joined on the Subway Restaurant's Fresh Take Hotline by Nate Kuhorn, a receiver for the Edmonton Eskimos. Nate, how are you today? Thanks for taking some time to join us.
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, not a problem at all. I guess let's start with the turnaround season it's been for the Eskimos. 7-1 record so far. Talk about what's been working so well.
We're just getting, you know, we're just winning games. We're winning the games that last year we were losing. And I think a lot of that has to do with just the culture of the team this year and a lot of the leadership changes.
And the culture and leadership definitely change. It starts with the head coach, Chris Jones, coming in there. How's his influence been with you guys?
Oh, it's been awesome. He's a really good leader, and he's a good guy to look up to, and he leads by example, and I think that's one of the reasons we're having a lot of success.
And I guess for you guys, the last couple of years been a struggle. You've been there with the organization, too, for the last couple of seasons when they have been struggling. So maybe just talk about how good of a feeling it is to now have some success with the Edmonton Eskimo organization.
Yeah, it's definitely feels really good. I think this is how it's supposed to be with the two Alberta teams being in the top in the West going into Labor Day. So we're looking forward to a really good game. And, yeah, we're definitely happy to be winning again in Edmonton.
Do you feel like maybe you guys owed something to the fans? The last couple of years have been so bad, especially at the, you know, the home record hasn't been very good. Do you feel like you wanted to really come out and do something for the fans there that have been so loyal to you guys?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Last year was definitely very tough on everyone, us and the fans, and it's good this year to be giving them a bit of a show. And they've stuck with us and beside us through everything that we've gone through, and they're some of the best fans in the CFL, and we're hoping a lot of them make the trip down south to Calgary for the Monday game.
Yeah, the atmosphere definitely should be good for that one. I want to talk a little bit about Mike Riley, a quarterback for you guys. Obviously, we know what he can do. Did it with the BC Lions, and now he's transferred that over to the Eskimos. Some great success this year. Just talk about what it's like playing with a good quarterback like that.
Oh, it's a blessing. It's amazing being able to play with someone who can get the ball downfield like that. And just one of the main things I really like about him is the way he leads on the field and just how he's kind of like a warrior out there. It doesn't, like, he wants to win. He'll do anything to win, and he'll lay his body on the line, and that's what you want from your leader, your team.
Part of your guys' success this year, too, has been the defense so much better. Now, is that Chris Jones coming in there as a defensive-minded head coach? Or have you, I mean, I know you're on the offense, but you've seen the defense improve so much for you as well. What have you seen that has made it so difficult for teams to play against you guys?
Oh, I think just the speed and just the flying around and the intensity that they're playing with, it's like nothing I've ever seen before. I get to practice against it all week, so it's definitely an amazing defense, and yeah, those guys are playing very well right now.
Does it make you guys better prepared for games when you get to play against a defense like that in practice all week? Do you feel that helps you better prepare for opposition?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I'm pretty sure they're leading the CFL in every defensive stat. So, yeah, going against a defense like that has definitely helped me personally and our full offense skill a lot better.
I guess now you look ahead to this Labor Day game. By far, it's the biggest Labor Day game we've had in this, you know, in the CFL, maybe, and especially between Calgary and Edmonton. Both teams 7-1. What are your thoughts when you go into this game? I guess now here midweek, as we're getting closer and closer to it.
Well, you got to treat it like just another game. You can't get too pumped up. Just like how when you're in the playoffs, you can't, you know, you can't treat it like it's. You just have to treat it like another game, but. Yeah, the Labor Day game does have a lot of tradition, and, you know, this is going to be my fourth one now playing in, and it's definitely a cranked-up atmosphere, and I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Edmonton Eskimo receiver Nate Kuhorn joining us down the Subway Restaurant's Fresh Take Hotline ahead of the Labor Day Classic this Monday between the Stamps and the Eskimos. Now, you're from Medicine Hat, so you're a Southern Alberta guy growing up. I can imagine that the Labor Day game was always something you look forward to even as a kid.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Kind of like our family tradition every year too. That's kind of the one live game we went to every year. We'd drive up to Calgary and watch the game as a family, and I definitely seen a lot of good games and a lot of heated battles and helmets flying and fists flying and stuff like that. So yeah, it's awesome to be able to play in it now.
Is there any like one memory, I guess, that stands out for you in some of the games that you've been to growing up, the one kind of play or one player that really steps up in your memory that you remember playing?
Well, I really, actually, one player that stands out would be Alan Pitts. He always had pretty big games whenever I came to those games. And then one play, I guess, would be, there was a big fight. I can't remember what year it was, but I just remember helmets flying everywhere. I think AJ Gass threw a helmet halfway across the field, so that's one that sticks out in my mind.
And I believe Ed Hervey was right in the middle of that one, too, on the Edmonton Eskimo side as well a couple of years ago. Yeah, there are some great memories for that game. I guess, for you, were you a Stamps fan growing up, being from Southern Alberta? Or were you an Edmonton guy, or were you just kind of in the middle? You could be honest with us.
growing up, I was a Stampeders fan.
that I guess obviously has changed for you now, and you went to the University of Calgary as well. Yeah. Maybe just talk about your time in the Dinos organization, how well that helped you prepare for the jump into the CFL.
Oh, that was a huge help for me. They've got a really special thing going on there, and that again all starts from leadership, and Coach Nill has definitely got those guys dialed in, and they're not only, you know, doing really good at football, but he's really good at mentoring the kids in that transition and helping them turn into men, and also getting them ready for the professional game.
And I guess when you talk about this game, we talked about both teams being 7-1. When you look at forward to this and the rematch game coming up Saturday night in Edmonton at Commonwealth Stadium, is it kind of like it really does go a long way in maybe helping one of these two teams be the top seed in the West Division? Because if one of the two teams sweep this, with how close everything is, it's going to be pretty tough to get back in the race for top spot in the West.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, for sure. The only thing is it's right in the middle of the season. But yeah, you play two games against any Western opponent, and yeah, you get a pretty good jump up on the West. But if you win them both, But yeah, there's still, you know, we're only at the halfway point of the season. It's a long season, so we're just going one week at a time, and we just want to get this win this week.
And I guess you talked about, I mean, the atmosphere growing up as a kid, and you played in this game a couple of times, but it's usually sold out. There's usually a lot of Eskimo fans in the stadium. Does it give you kind of like a playoff atmosphere, or kind of get you ready for what the playoffs might be?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the crowd is awesome. It has always been awesome on Labor Day, and fans from both cities come out. But it's definitely just like a playoff atmosphere. It seems like everyone's hitting a bit harder and moving a bit faster, and the intensity's definitely up a couple notches.
Hey, well, Nate, we appreciate you taking some time and joining us here on Calgary Radio, coming down and talking to us. Thanks so much for this. We look forward to the game on Monday. Wish you the best of luck, not only in Labor Day games, but the rest of the regular season.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
There you go. That is Nate Kuhorn, receiver for the Edmonton Eskimos, joining us down the Subway Restaurant's Fresh Take Hotline, a Southern Alberta guy who had some time in Medicine Hat, of course, growing up, but then went to the University of Calgary Dinos organization. You heard him say it there. He admittedly was a Stamps fan growing up, but that has obviously all changed for him being with the Edmonton Eskimos. And it's going to be a great game come Monday afternoon at McMahon Stadium. Either way you look at it, both teams are 7-1. We've never seen a game this big between these two teams. It's first place in the West Division on the line. One of these teams sweeps the two games moving forward. It's going to be interesting to see what happens there, because that puts one of these two teams at a potential of a 9-1 record. Their opposition would be stuck down at 7-3 and really put you in a good opportunity to win the CFL's West Division. When you look at some of the numbers you've got going on, you've got Bo Levi Mitchell against Mike Riley at the quarterback situation. Who do you give the edge there? Is it Mike Riley because he's throwing more touchdown passes? He's a little more veteran, played in a few more big games than Bo Levi Mitchell? Or do you give it to Bo Levi Mitchell, who's just been calm and collected all season long, continues to manage his game very well for the Calgary Stampeders? The receiver battle, that's another interesting battle when you look at that as well. Calgary Stampeders don't have a lot of players in the high end of receiving in the CFL. Marquay McDaniel leads the Stampeders with 437 receiving yards so far this season. Andreas Bowman, 619 for the Edmonton Eskimos. But the depth, I think, for Calgary, Joe West, despite what's going on with him, we expect him to be in the lineup. Anthony Parker, Brad Sinopoli, Mo Price as well on the receiving corps for the Calgary Stampeders. But A.J. Guyton, Shamad Chambers, Nate Kuhorn himself, and Fred Stampson even has an opportunity to get back into this game for the Edmonton Eskimos. We're not 100% sure on his status, but the receivers are all very, very close. And in the running back situation, of course, John Cornish going to get the start again for the Calgary Stampeders, had his return to the lineup. But the Stampeders running back numbers, individually at the very least, are not very high because of all the injuries. Matt Walter, Hugh Charles have both reached 100 yards so far this season. Martel Mallett not going to play in this game, but he was over 100 yards as well. You look at the Edmonton Eskimos on the ground, maybe that's where the Stampeders can exploit them a little bit. John White, their leading rusher, has just 334 yards so far this season. Mike Riley has also rushed for 320 yards this season. So the Calgary Stampeders, without a doubt, have their hands full offensively with what the Edmonton Eskimos could do. You talked about Nate Kuhorn talking there about the defense as well. They're going to be a very difficult team to stop defensively as well in this one. So a lot going on with the Calgary Stampeders and the Edmonton Eskimos. Should be a good one Monday afternoon at McMahon Stadium, the Labor Day Classic. We will take a break. When we come back on the other side, it is our big story of the day. We are live from Mugshots Sports Bar and Grill. Come check us out. We are on the corner of Ogden Road and Blackfoot Trail. All sorts of wing flavors. We've been sampling them all day. We'll continue to. We are here till the big show until 6 o'clock this evening. Come say hi on your way home from work. Perfect place to stop by, grab some wings. It's a great place, great location. Come on down and check us out. Mugshot Sports Bar and Grill. The big show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The best insiders, the breaking sports news when it happens, tons of play-by-play. Calgary, this is your sports radio. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.